The word blessed, or blessed, it's a Greek word, came from the word makarios. Makarios meant, it was hard to translate into English and have all the meanings behind it, but its main understanding, its main definition would be described as being in the right place, happy that you're in the right place, happy that you're in the right frame of mind, that your heart is in the right place. This idea of being blessed is that you are where you need to be, and you know it. It's that feeling of being, a sense of knowing where you are and that you're at the right spot. So when Jesus uses this word in his teachings that we are hearing today, he's saying to the people that are poor, that are hungry, he's saying to them, you need to recognize that you are in the right place, that you can be happy in that place because it has benefits for you. It puts you where you need to be. So from the Gospel of Luke, I want to read to you from the 6th chapter. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power had come out of him and healed all of them. And then he looked at his disciples. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those of you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. Okay, so you wake up in the morning, and the first thing that comes into your mind, the first thought you have when you wake up is? What? Coffee, okay. What day is it? Do I have to go somewhere? What? What am I? That's your first thought when you wake up? What am I going to wear? Okay. What? What time is it? Yeah. For me, my first thought is, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. You know, I need more sleep. Why did this clock go off now? Or other people might have thoughts of, I don't have enough time to get ready. Like, so what time is it? Do I have time to get ready? Am I late? And then you go and you look in the mirror, you get ready, and you look in the mirror, and what's the first thought that you have in your head when you look in the mirror? What? Something about your hair? Some of us aren't worried anymore about that. Yeah, my hair's a mess. What else? Back there, go ahead. Oh, I need a shower. Yeah. I can smell me. Oh, no. Yeah, there's all these things, you know, we see bags under our eyes, perhaps, and we go, oh, I got to do something about that. And, you know, for the ladies, you might go, oh, thank God for makeup. And for guys, we're thanking God that we can grow a beard and hide half our face, I guess. But, you know, we have all these thoughts, but look how negative those thoughts are. I mean, how many of us wake up and go, woohoo, it's morning, I can't wait to get started. And, you know, I mean, we've been bought into a culture that teaches us that things just aren't right. We're not good enough when, you know, we have things to do. I grew up, a lot of you grew up watching commercials. Kids, commercials are things that happen between the show that take, you know, it's a lot of you don't see them anymore because you watch Netflix and no commercials on there. But we used to have to watch them because you know, if you didn't want to watch a commercial, you either left the room or you had to walk across the room to the TV and turn a knob on the TV. The knob is like a little button and to turn it, because I know you don't see those either anymore. Boy, life has really changed. And we watch these commercials, and so we learned a lot of things from commercials. Commercials taught us that we weren't good enough. You know, they taught us, like, when we wake up in the morning and you turn around and you look at your wife or your husband, the first thing you do is you cover your mouth and you go, "Good morning," because you don't have scope or Listerine yet. And so we knew we didn't want to, you know, speak to anybody and offend them with our morning breath. And so we didn't talk, we, you know, make sure we turned away from each other. That's what the commercial taught us. They taught us that, you know, a lot of things that we weren't sexy enough without the right kind of car, and, you know, just everything the commercials taught us. They taught us about that we were never good enough. We weren't enough. We were somehow deficient, and we don't fit in, and we're not good enough to be around people. And so it affected us. I mean, it affected me. I guess I shouldn't, you know, bring you all into my world, but in my life, I know to this day. This morning, Jane and I woke up. Well, I woke up first, and she was sleeping while I was getting ready, and I wanted to wish her happy anniversary, because it's our 34th anniversary. But thank you. But I knew that I had brushed my teeth, but she hadn't yet. So I was gonna just give her a quick kiss on the cheek, because, you know, I don't want her to feel bad. She doesn't care. See, my wife didn't watch TV growing up, so she didn't get brainwashed like I have. So she's like, "Come here," you know, pulls me down and gives me a big kiss on the lips. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, germs and everything going through my head, but I'm like, she's my wife, it's okay. I'm gonna not wipe my mouth in front of her. And, so we kissed and wished each other happy anniversary, and I'll catch up to her sometime today. We'll find each other. But, you know, it's amazing how over and over and over again we saw these commercials and we became brainwashed. If I give you, like, part of a commercial, most of you who have grown up with them can finish it. "I can't believe I..." Yeah, we all knew about Alka-Seltzer, and that, you know, we could overeat and just pop a couple Alka-Seltzers into a glass and swallow that, and we'd be okay. We could go to sleep happy. And I could just probably go through lots of those, but we were just brainwashed to believe we weren't good enough. Our culture says that things are never good enough for us. G.K. Chesterton has said that to have enough in life, you can do it two ways. One of two ways. Either you can accumulate more and more and more and more and more and more, or you can desire less. Which is easier? Probably it's easier just to accumulate more and more and more. My mouth is dry. All that talk about scope and mystery. Okay. So how do we desire less? How do we get to a place where this culture no longer holds us captive to this idea that we have to accumulate more and more things to be happy? Jesus tries to tell us in the scriptures that blessed, Makarios, happy in the place where you are if you are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? Well, I think what he's saying to us is if we recognize that being poor, not having to have everything that's out there, but being content with what we have, then we have the ability to see the kingdom of God. We can put the kingdom of God in its proper place in our life. Because the more we accumulate, if we become accumulators, thinking that that's the way to be happy, to get the latest car that's out because we need more power, we need a car that goes from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. Why, I don't know, but we're told that that's important to us. Then if we can get all of that, we'll be happy. But we find that the more we we reach for things in life, the more it doesn't make us happy. You know, I think Coca-Cola is probably, and all the other soda drinks, maybe Sprite too, they can be a metaphor for this kind of life. Because Coke and many of the sodas put the ingredients in there, and their main, even though the commercial says they quench your thirst, the reality is they don't. They are formulated so that you keep needing more. They make you thirsty. And so you drink it, and it makes you thirsty, so you drink more, and you keep on. And I think that's a metaphor for what our culture has done to us. It's made us thirsty for things that never satisfy. And so we get the new car, we buy a house, we buy gifts, things to put in the house, and every time we turn around, we're happy for a short little bit, and then we're not happy again. And we keep reaching for more. Remember the book that was made into a movie, Tuesdays with Maury, for the adults? Kids, it was a book. A book is a thing you read, it's got paper in it. Oh, life is changing so quickly. And they made the movie of it. And Maury says in one place in that movie, and in the book that Mitch Albom wrote, he says that, I gotta look at the quote again. People are hungry for love, but they're willing to accept substitutes. And I think that's part of the problem that, you know, our culture, all the things that we're advertised with are trying to tell us that if we have them, the ultimate thing, the underlying hidden message in there is that we'll be desirable, we'll be loved, we'll be lovable people with that. Just think about like commercials that you hear and see. It's, you know, whether it's a beer that you're drinking or a car that you're driving or a neighborhood that you want to live in, all of it is designed to say to you, you'll be a better person. You'll be more loved. You'll be more desirable if you acquire this. So whether it's pimple cream or, you know, hairstyles or whatever it is, all of it is designed to make us look lovable and presentable because we are not good enough the way we are. And we're seeking love. And God is giving to us a message through this teaching, blessed are those who are poor, that you're good enough even if you're poor. In fact, because you're poor, you are not trapped by all that other stuff that gets in the way. You're not looking after it. You can be happy in your poverty, not just of things, but of spirit, that you'll know where you really need to be. You'll know what's really important in your life. Blessed are those who are hungry now, for you will be filled. When you're hungry physically, what's on your mind when you're hungry? What do you want? Food, right? Is that what you were going to say? Okay. Food. You know what you need. And when you're spiritually hungry, Jesus wants us to be reminded of this. When you're spiritually hungry too, you'll be filled. God knows what you need. He'll fill that gap, that void. Because that's what you need. You need God in that emptiness, that spiritual hunger leads us to God. If we keep substituting all these other things in life to fill in all of that, thinking it'll substitute for what we really want because we're distracted, then we are distracted from God. We're distracted from who we are. We're distracted from who God has made us to be. And we're trying to become somebody else. We're trying to be something we're not. But if you're not you, who's going to be you? God put you here for this reason, for this time, and a purpose that you need to fulfill. You need to be here. And if you spend all of your time trying to be somebody else, trying to live up to somebody else's expectations, you'll never be good enough. And you'll feel that, and you'll always be unsatisfied and yearning. And God says, you don't have to yearn any longer. Be happy. Dance for joy, because you are good enough for God. God is looking at each one of you today and he's saying, you're beautiful. You are beautiful just the way you are because I made you this way. I made you for a purpose. I made you to be somebody that only you can be in this world. And you don't have to cover it up with all kinds of products. You don't have to put, you know, all kinds of underarm deodorant on you so that you smell good, although a little's good. But, you know, I think sometimes we take things to the extreme. Because I thought with, like, if one chocolate chip cookie's good, well, then three's better. And, you know, if a few chips in a chocolate chip cookie are good, then a whole lot of chips would be good. In fact, it'd be better without the cookie. Let's just have chocolate chips. And so I would eat them out of the bag. And now I stand here as a diabetic. So don't, kids, don't eat chocolate chips out of the bag. They're not that good for you at all. But, see, I think that's part of our more is better mentality. We think that if a little's good, then maybe a lot would be even better, and we keep trying to go beyond what we need. But if we can learn to be happy with what we have, and be comfortable with it, then we won't be distracted looking for something else. We'll know where real love is found, and real love is found in the Spirit of God. It's what we celebrate here today. Those magi, they were motivated by a star. They came to find this new baby, this new king that had been born, and they opened up their treasures to give. They didn't need the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. It was precious to them, but when they saw this child, they realized, I don't need this stuff. They opened up their treasures and they took out of their treasures gifts to give away because they were motivated by love. And you and I are motivated by love too. God has come to us in the form of one of us. And he's lived among us and taught us and he's showed us how life can be better without worrying about all this stuff. I'm not saying go sell everything you have and get rid of it. I'm saying let's learn to be with whatever we have now. Learn to be satisfied. Learn to put that in its proper place. Don't let that become your owner, that you give your life to keeping it and holding on to it. Hold on to it loosely so that if something comes along that calls to you and that stuff gets in the way, you can let it go. You can push it aside. And say, this is not as important to me as my relationship is with God and with people. Because that's what is really the treasure you're building in heaven. That treasure that you take with you is not the cash, not the house, it's not the car, it's not all the collectibles that you've gotten. The treasure you take with you when you enter heaven is the relationships you build here on earth. It's the love that God has bound us together with in his Son's name. God is saying to you today, you're not only good enough, but you are enough. You have enough. And you do enough. Brian Tracy is one of those success gurus, and I'll end with this. He says, you don't have the time to do everything, but you do have time to do what's most important. And so, decide what is most important in your life, and put that as your priority. That is your time. Whether it's time alone with God, time with your family, time with friends, those are the most important things that we have in this world today. All the other stuff, it's just kind of icing on the cake. Be thankful for it, but don't let it become number one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.